محمد وعجل فرجهم وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله وأعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين جاهدوا فينا لنحبينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Our topic, our discussion now for the past few nights has been revolving around anxiety and stress, looking at it through the Islamic lens. So, keeping the discussion brief tonight, nothing more than a half an hour, I promise you, I wanted to extract two lessons from Bibi Khadija. Number one was sakhawat and generosity. Number two was spouse selection. Before that, however, let's understand that this woman came from a very pure lineage. So her father, Khuwaylid, was known to be an individual who was one of the right-hand men of Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib, of course, was that individual who had the keys to the Kaaba, the caretaker of the Kaaba, one of the most respected people of his time in Mecca, seen as a God-conscious man, as a pious man. The very famous story of Abraha and Ashab Fil happened in his time. And one of the individuals who was beside him taking care of the Kaaba was Khuwaylid, the father of Bibi Khadija. The uncle of Bibi Khadija was Walaqa ibn Nawfil. Walaqa ibn Nawfil, we find sometimes in our Ulum al-Quran discussions, where he is that individual that some of our Ahl Sunnah brothers have sourced as saying that Bibi Khadija, when she saw the state and the state of confusion, na'udhu billah, of the Holy Prophet, after the first wahi from Jibra'il, not knowing what was happening, he was confused, she was confused, she took him to her uncle Nu'man, Walaqa ibn Nawfil. And he was the one, as a Christian, God-fearing priest, some say, he was the one that explained to the Holy Prophet that you have and you exhibit all the signs of prophethood, and you indeed are a prophet of God. We, of course, reject that discussion in the Shia, faith. However, the only instance sometimes I find of this individual is in this context, when the reality, to me, one of the most important contributions that he had in that society of Mecca before the arrival of Rasulullah was that he was one of very few individuals who would defend the young born daughters from being buried alive. In fact, he would stand there in the middle of Mecca and announce that, please refrain from burying your daughters alive. Stop doing this act. It's a heinous crime. If it's about money and you think that this girl of yours will bring nothing but loss to you, as you know that they saw newborn girls as a liability, can't go to war, can't work, what's the point of having them? So they would bury them alive. And he would attempt now verbally to stop them, even go so far as offer money to those parents who just were blessed with a newborn daughter. That if it's about finances, I'll give you money, just keep her alive. Now back then, when you know it was a silent majority era like it is today, like it is every era almost, you know, for someone like that to be that vocal about something so noble was rare. So my point is that she didn't come out of the blue. She obviously, if you date back all the way five generations, she actually meets up with the lineage of the Holy Prophet at Qusay, right? They break off somewhere else, but that's exactly where they meet up in terms of their fathers and fathers and fathers up five generations. So she comes from a very humble and pious background. It means that tarbiyat, that nurturing of God, is inside of her. And we see that be exhibited in several occasions in her life when it could have easily been resulted in her going this way, she in fact went towards God. Okay? But on to the two points. The first point that I want to make is that of generosity, of sakhawat. It's a topic that I often talk about. It's one that I think in this pandemic era, it's also extremely important. But let's first define what a sakhi is inside of Islam and identify the importance of this. The Quran now refers to one of the signs of the muttaqi, the pious ones. as الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Okay? There are those individuals, the pious ones, are those who give when things are great and when things are not so great. When things are difficult and when things are easy. But they still give. You know, sometimes when things are going great and there's a surplus, let's say, in our finances, to give, let's say, a couple of hundred here towards that campaign or this donation or that support is very easy. When things are a little bit tight, for you to give at that moment becomes difficult. But a pious individual is that individual who gives in both states, in both situations, during difficult and ease. Now, it might be that the amount you give, I'm not talking about the amount, I'm talking about the fact that this culture of giving does not stop because now things are tight on your end. Now, obviously, the deen doesn't say for you to give everything up. No, of course not. If you have, for example, $2 in your pocket, someone needs money, you give them $1, you keep $1 for yourself. But this nature and culture of giving is a very difficult thing for a lot of people. Because they get scared. If I give, there'll be nothing for me. Now, you know, I understand the idea that we have to be a little bit careful fiscally and financially. I understand that. But sometimes it has a little bit of an aura of not trusting God. So there are some people out there who like to always announce how poor they are, how in debt they are, how I wish if I had money I can travel, or if only I could afford it. Whenever they hear about you owning something, having something, going somewhere, right away, oh my God, that must have cost you so much. How do you afford it? How much did that cost? Everything in their world is money. And they come across as somebody who's just, you know, deprived and who is destitute and who is hand to mouth and who's like, you know, searching for food. And even if that's the reality, I urge you, if you're like that, and if you're told you're like that, please change your ways. I mean, you know, regardless of what it is, Allah has always given us more than He hasn't given us. And sometimes it has a very ajib way of smelling like it is ungrateful. Or the fact that I don't think God can give me that. Like sometimes we hear about this couple going on a trip, for example. You think, oh, you know, I don't think I'll ever go to Hajj, or I'll ever go to, let's say, Europe, or I'll ever go to Australia, or, you know, I don't see us ever have, no, you don't know. We're drowning in debt, we have no money, there's no way, you know, this and that. I wish. Like, those kind of things, you know, number one, it's awkward for the person in front of you. Number two is that, you know, it strips you of any sort of sense of generosity. Okay, when someone comes to you and says, you know, can you give towards this good cause? You're like, well, I would love to, but things are tight right now. And we don't understand sometimes that one of the signs of the piety of God, one of the signs of God's consciousness is to give when things are tight with the reliance that if I give, I will get as well. That's what sometimes we don't need. You know, we're all about making your money grow, right? Making money from your money, letting the money grow itself. Right? We look at this investment, put the money in there, let it grow itself. Okay, that's great. But Islam already has that barakat system, that system of growing your money. And it's what? It's charity. It's sadqa. It's giving. It's helping. It's assisting. It's being generous. It's being sakhi in Islam. Allah says, you give, I will make sure it comes back to you. Hadith says, when you give to somebody, that you give turns back and says things to you. It says that, look, I was something that was perishable. By you giving me to someone who might use me better, you've actually made me eternal. I was somebody that didn't have much respect. But the fact that you gave me now as an avenue of salvation to person A, you've actually given me respect. The same way that you have made me eternal and filled with respect in this world, I'm going to present myself to Allah to make you eternal and make you Ba'izzat, and with respect in that world. Meaning what? That thing that you give actually intercedes and can intercede on your behalf on the Day of Judgment. But on top of that, one of the biggest announcements that we can make on the reliance of Allah is to give. Give. Even when things are tight, you give. Knowing full well, the same way I got this that I'm giving, I'll get it back as well. Right? They give when things are tight, they give when things are not so tight. Who? The muttaqeen, Allah says in the Quran. Now, what is generosity now? What is it to give? Is it to give to somebody who's asking me? That's easy. Someone comes to my door. Someone comes to me downtown Toronto. Someone's asking me for a change. I give them, I drop a loonie, I drop a coin, I drop a bill, whatever the case may be. And I feel great about myself. I gave to somebody. That's not what true generosity, that's not the highest level of generosity in Islam. In Islam, the highest level of generosity is to give to those before they ask. Oh. And in this discussion on stress and anxiety, I'm not talking about a financial gift. I'm not saying to, you know, finance someone's trip or finance someone's shopping spree. No, obviously that's generous. It's great. But sometimes the biggest form of generosity is to give that person ease and comfort, to listen to them, give them that comfort, rescue them from their internal and spiritual stress and anxiety. If that means that you share a video that you found to be inspiring, if that means that you call them up and say, look, let's go for a virtual Zoom coffee, if that means whatever the case may be, it does mean that, look, I am here to what? To ease your discomfort, to make you forget a little bit about your stress. I may not be able to solve the factors of your stress or remove them. I can definitely act as a distraction. Why do I say that? Because when we look at the life of Bibi Khadija, in that stressful time of the Holy Prophet, garbage being thrown on the man, right? Allegations being thrown against the man, right? Torture for his companions, all sorts of accusations, him being a magician, a lunatic, all these things. For any human being, even the Prophet of Allah, that's stressful. When he says by his own words that no other prophet, no other man was bothered more than I was. There's bound to be anxiety and stress. And we've already talked about the fact that some of the greatest people in history have gone through stress and anxiety. You're not alone in that. Now, the point is that when he would come home after a very difficult day, the one person there in her generosity, creating a home of Jannat and paradise and comfort and serenity, was Bibi Khadija. Salli ala Muhammad, salli ala Muhammad. صلي على محمد صلي على محمد اللهم صلي على محمد وآل محمد وآل محمد اللهم صلي على محمد وآل محمد. He would come home after receiving a wahi, a revelation from Jibreel through Allah, from Allah through Jibreel, and he would be sweating, he'd be cold, he'd be shivering. She wouldn't ask 1,000 questions. Where have you been? What's going on? Why are you like this? What happened? Why, how come you're not telling anything? Why are you so quiet? Talk to me, talk to me. She would lay him down, put a blanket on him, maybe even massage his head a little bit, make him feel comfortable. Then he'll share what happened. That generosity is important, that we ask and we give to those before they ask. Now, in order for you to give, in order for me to give to somebody before they ask, I have to be aware of what those needs are inside of them. I have to be fully aware of what they're going through. And it points to a bigger topic, which I won't go down, is on the communal aspect of the religion. The social, ijtima'i, inclusive, collective nature of the deen. Where we don't prescribe to individualism, we prescribe to collectivism. The deen has always been about the jama'ah, the jama'ah, the jama'ah. It's tima'ah, social. You belong to a brotherhood. You belong to a sisterhood. You belong to a bigger family. Don't assume that your one individual actions that you've plastered on social media isn't affecting the people around you. It is, and you should be weary of that. It's a lot to ask, Malana, you want me to what? Worry about everybody else? I do. Yes, I'm sorry. I want me to think about the fact that yes, everything I do and say in this glamorized era affects everybody else. When we adopt the communal dimension of the deen, we worry about everybody else like I worry about myself. Then I look at this person and think, you know what? That house right there went through a nasty divorce just now. Her son just got married. Within 10 months, he's divorced. I know for a fact that both of them, the husband and wife, are going through a very difficult time right now. I know for a fact that right now there's a lot of tension between the parents and that 17-year-old boy in that house, meaning their teenage son. I know that he just lost his job in this pandemic COVID-19 era. Is the culture there inside of us for us to reach out to this person, reach out to the family, reach out to the couple and say, look, if ever you need anything, let me know. My wife and I and my husband and I can come over and have a tea, 6 feet apart, of course. Do we have that? Or do we think for a moment, a thousand thoughts, do I know them that well? Am I stepping on his toes? Am I being too personal? Is it a private matter? He'll tell me off for sure. He'll tell me to get lost. He'll tell me to mind your own business. You know what? Not a good idea. I'll pray for them, but not a good idea. So a thousand reasons and factors to come in and swoop in and say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But your niyat was to just to have the door open a little bit. Maybe a message, maybe an emoji, maybe thinking about you, hope you're okay. And sometimes, you know, randomly during this pandemic, you know, I get people, you know, drop things off at my door. And I get a message, you know, say it, something at your door for you. Be it my neighbor down the road, or be it, you know, a member of my family, or be it somebody who's just a member of the community. And, you know, no reason, just thinking about you. It just goes a long way. It really makes a person's day. That you want things, when you feel alone especially, to have that kind of voice to think, you know what, I'm not alone, is huge. Generosity, in light of Bibi Khadija, for those who are going through stress and anxiety, so now the discussion has been about the one who is going through the anxiety. Now today I want to focus on the one who's witnessing the one going through anxiety. Be it your spouse, be it your kid, be it your parent, be it your sibling, be it your cousin, be it your fellow community member. Doesn't matter. Sometimes people are openly saying, I'm going through a lot. Just checking, everything okay? How are things going? That's the generosity that we need. That's the culture that we need to, yes, worry about somebody else. Don't worry about what their reaction might be. So what? They tell you, you know what? Mind your own business. Fine. Just letting you know. The door's open. If and when you need me, I'll always be there. I didn't mean to upset you. Just reaching out, brother. Are you okay? I heard about the divorce. I heard about the job loss. Maybe you can send me your resume. I know a few guys in the IT field, in the accounting field, in the PM department. I can at least, you know, one more eyes and ears for you to, you know, for you to find a job. It goes a long way sometimes. But when we continue now to, you know, to adopt this individualistic lifestyle, look, I'm sorry he lost his job, but I'm just worried about holding my own job. I'm sorry that their marriage is in trouble. Sometimes I'm just trying to make sure that our marriage doesn't fall apart. Because remember, the Quran says, "Alladhina yunfiquna fis sarai wal dharai." It doesn't mean that when the bank account is filled, we give. Or when the bank account is low, we give. That's one possible explanation. But when times are easy and times are hard, are not always fiscal and financial. Sometimes when you yourself are going through darkness and you reach out for others as a form of light, oh, sometimes that's the ultimate level of generosity. Especially when that person in front of you knows that you're going through your own troubles. They actually say, look, you're going through a lot yourself, you know. Don't worry about me. We're good. You also stay strong through your difficulty. Imagine the message you're sending that person that, look, you know that I'm going through a lot. I'm going through a tough marriage. I have my hands full with his teenagers. I just lost my job. My daughter went through a nasty divorce. But I'm not worried about all that. I'm worried about you guys. Are you guys okay? You know, can we talk about it? I'm here if you need me. That level of generosity was incredible. It's incredible. We look at Bibi Khadija's life. Yes, it's not about financial. She supported the Prophet when no one else did. She was her backbone. She was his backbone. She was his financial supporter. And yes, you will say, you know, وَمَنْ يَتَوَقَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. When we rely on Allah, He is everything for us. No doubt about that. But the reality is that she played a huge role in the establishment of the deen as a supporter and a generous one to give to her husband, the Holy Prophet. Especially in this day and age of the pandemic, inside of our homes, it's very easy to hoard. It's very easy to grab 8 bags of rice. Right? At this time to show generosity, right? At this time now, to give somebody, you know, a pack of yeast, for example, or some flour, for example. Apparently, the new thing this week, the new panic buy is yeast, apparently, and flour, because people are baking at home. They have enough toilet paper. They don't have enough yeast, apparently. So if you have yeast, you know, it's gold right now. Anyways, that's one. The second point that I want to make is on spouse selection. This was that woman. Sometimes we lose sight of these things. This was that woman, Bibi Khadija, who was very successful, came from a very strong family, a very strong tribe, had all the elements to be a potential great spouse, line up at her door of the richest and most successful Arabs wanting her hand in marriage, and she said no to all of them. Didn't allow her wealth and her success to taint her piety. She could have had a very easy life with some of the men that came to her door asking for a hand in marriage. The most wealthiest Arabs would come and ask for her hand in marriage. She said no, and she elected to go and actually instigate the process of marrying the Holy Prophet, a simple man who had very little to his name, knowing full well that, you know, this luxurious life that this person A could offer, I don't want that. I want the spiritual that the person B offers. With that spirituality comes that contentment that money can't buy. In the end, Shibu Abu Talib, when she became ill and she eventually passed away in the last few years of the Meccan portion of the prophethood, it was a dire situation. She was sick. There wasn't anything to her name in terms of finances. She didn't even have a kafan. But something tells me, and I haven't read this, if she was to make the choice all over again, she would again go with the Holy Prophet. Which segues me into a discussion on spouse selection. Very, very quickly. Okay? I'm getting so tired of dealing with situations of couples that didn't have any right to get married to begin with. And I'm sorry to say that. Sometimes I look at the wife, I look at the husband, I hear his story, I hear her story. I hear her complaints, I hear his complaints. I think to myself, the first question I ask to them after a while is, why did you two get married to begin with? On what basis did you say yes to him? On what basis did you say yes to her? And when I get the response, I don't know, that to me is the ultimate frustration. It's not like you have to make up the criteria by yourself. And I ask those of my youth out there who are at that married, that age of getting married now, where your parents say, "Beta karlo, nah, just do it now, just get married," right? And to those parents now, right, who have their own set of criteria and they're trying to force it onto the child, both of you have to really hear just this 5 minutes, and that is that Islam has already laid down everything very nicely for us to look at for potential spouses. Taqwa number one, a good family, education, compatibility, right? All these things. You don't need to add, you know, height and weight and color and sayyid and all these things. I'm sorry. Right? Hadith is very open by saying when we chase beauty and fortune in potential qualities in a spouse, we will get neither eventually. Meaning if we choose money and looks over piety, we'll lose the piety, of course. There's no piety there to begin with. We'll lose the looks and we'll lose the money eventually. But if you are to marry for piety, you'll get piety with that now. You'll get money with that now. You'll get beauty as well. Sometimes a person who's beautiful on the inside is the most attractive person on the outside for you. And sometimes a person who is morally bankrupt inside of you, okay, he could belong on the cover of GQ. To you, he's ugly. He's unattractive to me, Milana. I don't want to be around him anymore. And it points to the fact that these things weren't thought about. So I ask my youth out there, that for those of you who are at that stage where you are now ready to kind of either propose or consider a proposal or discuss with your parents, and I do ask you to discuss with your parents about this, please keep in mind taqwa and piety. Keep in mind that 20 years from now, when these beards are gray and white, he's going to be the father of your children. He's going to be the leader of your home. Do you picture that man out there working hard, feeding your family, giving you the wings to fly to God? Or do you picture him sitting there playing FIFA and playing Call of Duty all day on these video games. Because why? We're in a pandemic, baby. I have all the time in the world. And meanwhile, you're running around, trying to cook, trying to clean, trying to feed the baby, trying to look after the homework, blah, 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 and keep your namaz up and read the Quran. He is sitting there playing Call of Duty with his man children of friends that he has. It's essential. From the life of this amazing woman, she made a conscious decision to move away from that dunyai life and follow the ukhrawi life of the akhirat. In the process, of course, she becomes one of the four blessed women in Islam and the very initial supporter of the Holy Prophet. Let's move towards together towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's cleanse our hearts. Let's ask Him sincerely to forgive our sins and watch as you fly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much. May Allah bless each and every one of your families. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, March 21st, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And here I, on behalf of IRIB English Radio, congratulate our dear listeners on the occasion of Nowruz and Iranian New Calendar Year 1400. Congratulations! Today we in Iran are celebrating Nowruz and the first day of the month of Farvardin, 1400 of the Iranian calendar year. As we in Iran are celebrating Nowruz, some of our dear listeners around the world are also celebrating Nowruz, including in Kyrgyzstan, Iraq, Azerbaijan, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Georgia, India, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Turkey, and some other countries. Nowruz, Iran's New Year celebrations, is a major festivity and an important part of the rich, flourishing culture of the Iranian people. Once again, Nowruz declares the end of winter and heralds the arrival of spring to the inhabitants of this ancient land, the land of Iran. Nowruz represents renewal of close ties between man and nature. Happy Nowruz and the beginning of spring to everyone. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports, dear listeners, are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. However, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from us in IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. However, my dear colleagues in IRIB English Radio are preparing and designing eQSL cards for you. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Ashraf Ashik from India, Giovanni Seri from Italy, and Saber Jout from Algeria. Ashraf Ashik, Giovanni Seri, and Saber Jout, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails, which most of them focuses on Nowruz celebrations, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails and letters, including an email from Olmar Kovic from Sweden. We have an email from Lu Dacheng from China. Sultan Mahmoud Starkar from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Chris Malbo from Canada has also sent us an email. And Harald Seuss from Austria has kindly sent us an email. Dear listeners of Listeners Special, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages just in seconds. Welcome back. First of all, we have an email from Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh. Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar, one of our regular listeners, says, Nowruz, the arrival of spring in the northern hemisphere, is one of the oldest and most cherished festivals, having been celebrated for at least 3,000 years. The Farsi word Nowruz means new day. Nowruz is one of the oldest festivals in the world. This popular culture and festival is celebrated not only in Iran, but also in Afghanistan, Tajikistan, the Republic of Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Turkey, and Iraq. The festival is more or less celebrated in Georgia, Pakistan, India, and Bangladesh, and many other parts of the world as well. There is a special similarity between the Iranian New Year Nowruz and the Bengali New Year. Spring arrives in Iran and Bangladesh at close intervals. Nowruz is a week of joy and excitement in Iran. In Bangladesh too, fairs are held in the villages on the occasion of Boishakh for a month. I listen very carefully to the special programs on the occasion of Nowruz on IRIB English Radio, and I will definitely enjoy it. I would like to extend my best wishes to the all presenters of IRIB English Radio, the Iranian public, and all listeners from all over the world. Happy Nowruz to all! Happy Nowruz to everyone. I wish you all good health. Salam and greetings to Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh and all people in your country, Bangladesh. Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar, one of our regular listeners, I was amazed by the information you had about Nowruz celebration in Iran and your country. Of course, it was great. It was such a great email. Many thanks for writing us this email, and many thanks for sharing your information about Nowruz to our dear listeners and to us in IRIB English Radio. Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh, wish you all the best, and we wish you all the best during Nowruz occasion in your country, Bangladesh. And we wish you all the best, and we wish you a very healthy, safe, and prosperous year during this occasion and all the year. Many thanks for writing this email to us, Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh. Write to us soon. Stay safe and healthy. Also from Canada, we have an email from Chris Malboff. Chris Malboff, one of our regular listeners, says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, greetings to all on the occasion of Nowruz and the beginning of the Iranian New Year. May you have good health and joy in the upcoming year." First of all, salam and greetings to you, Chris Malboff from Canada, one of our regular listeners. Chris Malboff, many thanks for your congratulation message on Nowruz and the beginning of Iranian New Year. Have a good time. We wish you all the best. Stay safe and healthy. And for sure, keep in touch with IRIB English Radio. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other congratulation messages from around the world. Stay with us, please. Welcome back from Sweden. We have an email from Olmar Kovic. Olmar says, "First of all, I want to send you my thanks for the letter with verification card showing the mausoleum of Sheikh Safiuddin in Ardabil and the postcard with the interior of St. Mary's Church in Tehran received here a few days ago. I'm very happy to have this excellent reply from you, and I have published it on Facebook with much attention from followers. I found a story on the web about this Armenian church and the fact that Iran has given shelter to Armenian refugees during a long time. I also found that the mausoleum and the church are both classed as World Heritage. I take the opportunity to wish you a happy Nowruz. Let us hope this spring will offer us some hope in the battle against the COVID-19 virus, which is making everyone's life difficult. With kind regards from Sweden." Greetings to you, Olmar Kovic from Sweden, one of our regular listeners, and many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. So you've received a verification card from us showing, as you said, the mausoleum of Sheikh Safiuddin in Ardabil and a postcard with the interior of St. Mary's Church in Tehran. Yes, we have Christian minorities in our country, so we have churches in different parts of our country. That's great. You've enjoyed the souvenirs, and seems you know the Iranian history very well, as you know how we celebrate Nowruz, and Nowruz is celebrated in different parts of the world. Also, many thanks for your congratulation message. We wish you all the best. And you said that different countries celebrate Nowruz. So happy Nowruz and Iranian New Calendar Year 1400 to all our listeners around the world, especially you, Olmar Kovic from Sweden. Wish you peace, love, joy, and good tidings. Write to us soon, Olmar Kovic from Sweden, and tell us your views about our programs. And from China, we have an email from Lu Dacheng from China. Lu Dacheng from China says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, hello. I'm very happy to know that we are approaching Nowruz holidays in Iran and many other countries. I think it is the same as a spring festival in China, which is the biggest festival in my country. I know about Nowruz and the articles about Iran in Chinese and the programs of IRIB English Radio. I wish Iranian people and all the listeners who celebrate this occasion a happy Nowruz. Stay safe and strong. Salam and greetings to you, Lu Dacheng from China. And accept our warm thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. I think this email belongs to days before Nowruz, because our dear listener Lu Dacheng says we are approaching Nowruz holidays in Iran, but these days in Iran, at the time I'm reading this email, we are celebrating Nowruz in Iran. Anyway, many thanks for writing this congratulation message to us in IRIB English Radio, Lu Dacheng from China. You mentioned that you in China also celebrate a festival like Nowruz in your country, and that is at the time of spring. I think, yes, we in Iran, like China, celebrate festivals and festivities related to spring, but I think the rituals and traditions are much different. For example, we spread half sin cloth in our country, but that is much different from what you celebrate in your country. As you said, you have a festival in the time of a spring. Yes, both they are celebrated at the time of a spring, but the rituals and traditions are much different. And we are very happy that you enjoy our programs about Nowruz. And as you said, you know about Nowruz in our programs in IRIB English Radio. We're so happy that you're enjoying them. We wish you, Lu Dacheng from China, and your fellow countrymen a very happy festival in your country. As you said, it's in the time of a spring, and wish you all the best. Stay safe and healthy, and write to us soon in the future. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Harald Seuss from Austria. Harald Seuss is one of our regular listeners who says, "Hi, dear staff of IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for your kind email. Some more than 3,000 years, the ancient festival of Nowruz has been celebrated. It is, in some respects, similar to our New Year festival. We celebrate the New Year coming in our country and the whole Europe in winter time. We all make a special food for this day, meet family members, and wish together all the best, prosperity, and health. If the time and health situation will get better, it would be of great interest to participate in your Nowruz festival once. I wish you a happy new year. I am a listener of IRIB since 1975. I am interested in different cultures and geography of foreign countries, and I am lucky to have visited some of them. Unfortunately, I have not yet been able to visit Iran, but I hope that I will have the chance to do so. I wish all the best for the future and a successful radio broadcasting in the world and within your country. Salam and greetings to you, Harald Seuss from Austria, one of our regular listeners. And, you know, many thanks for this incredible email. Honestly, I am astounded by the information you had about Nowruz and about Iran. It was great. Incredible. Many thanks. As you said, maybe the time and maybe, as you know, the kind of traditions we do in Nowruz and in your country, in some cases, be similar, for example, regarding the fact that we visit family members, you know, wishing together the best prosperity and health, and making a special food, in some cases, yes, but you celebrate your festival in the winter time, we celebrate it during spring. That's great. And we are honored to have you as our regular and old listener. As you said, you have been listening to IRIB English Radio since 1975. That's many years. And it's an honor. It's a pleasure to have you with us as a listener. And we also hope that you visit Iran very soon in the future, maybe after the coronavirus is controlled around the world. Wish you all the best, Harald Suss from Austria. Many thanks for writing this great email. And here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Keep in touch and have a good time. Wishing you all the best, we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله الله يا الله والحمد لله الله ولا إله إلا الله.
leadership from the perspective of Imam Khomeini. Governance is a primary rule and has priority over secondary rule. If the government powers were considered within the domain of the divine secondary rules, the delegation of the divine government and the absolute wilaya to the Prophet Muhammad would be a meaningless phenomenon.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are with another program of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio, and I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi. We were discussing about the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in this program, and we were talking about his viewpoints in regards to the religion of Islam. Today we have another saying of Imam Khomeini, in which Imam Khomeini has said that all features of civilization and modernization are allowed in Islam except those that corrupt the character and spoil the virtue. Islam has ruled out the things that are opposed to the interests of the nation and has affirmed the things which agree with the national expediencies. So basically, in this saying, Imam Khomeini, in this part of his speech, has made clear the purpose of Islam, the path of Islam. You know, we have this discussion, obviously, many times people do ask that, is that kind of ritual in a specific civilization, in a specific cultural, we can say like ritual, is that allowable or not? Is that permissible in Islam or not? The answer is in this part of Imam Khomeini's speech. He said that anything that is corrupting the character or spoiling the virtue of a nation and it is against the Islamic rules, that is not allowable, that is not permissible. For example, you know, some people ask for celebrating Nowruz according to Iranian nation, is it permissible in Islam or not?
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
Those rituals that are, we can say, in line with the Islamic teachings, that are allowed because they are not corrupting the nation. They are not corrupting the or the spoiling the virtue. So that are allowed. The rules that are affirmed and agree with the national expediencies are allowed. So basically, if it is so, then that is allowed. But those practices which are against the teachings of Islam, which takes this society towards the corruption, which takes society towards nowhere, such kind of things are not allowed. Such kind of practices are not allowed in Islam, and Islam do not allow these things. So we need to be very much careful when we talk about a specific society. Yes, Islam give a free hand to the mankind because he is living in his tribe, in his country. They have a specific language. They have specific cultural practices which they do. But Islam says that if it is according to teachings of Islam, if it takes you towards perfection, if it takes you towards God, then it is allowable, that it is permissible. Because all these practices, the things that we do, there is only one aim, and the aim is to reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reach to the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to get connected with the divine cause, with the divinity. And when we are connected with the divine cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will succeed inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day, in every Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Spiritual message of Islam.
His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. If we all open our eyes to see, he is all that we need right now. And we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وبه نستعين إنه خير ناصر ومؤين. The month is the month of Sha'ban, the month of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The occasions in which we do have some relevance to our imams, such as the birthday of imams or martyrdoms of imams, we should have some good benefits of these occasions in seeking a proximity to God and performing our responsibility and duties toward these imams. And the one who is aware of his own personality and his relationship to his own imam can take benefit more of these occasions. Then let us focus on ourselves, focus on the day and night that we are in, and seek God's forgiveness, mercy, and blessings through our imams, especially Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salatu wassalam. Talking about the personality of Imam Al-Husayn is not so easy for me, because Imam is such a notion. We cannot talk about the depth of this personality, but to the extent of our own understanding, we can talk a little bit about his characteristics and nobility, and take our own benefit to the extent of our own perception of this imam. Just one point I want to focus on, and then to go next to that point and come to an end, inshallah, at the end, good conclusion I want to mention. Imam had many, many characteristics, and you all know about most of them. I don't want to talk about these things. Just one issue is very important for me in the life of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salatu wassalam, and that is